Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for our Bible study and our time of ministry in the Word of God. I trust God that you are doing well, and you and your loved ones. I trust God that you are enjoying His goodness, His faithfulness, and this lovely season. Hallelujah. Well, praise God for yet another opportunity that He has given to us as His children to be able to come together to study the Word of God. Oh, what a privilege that is. What a privilege that is. And we never, ever take that for granted. I am so thankful. I am so excited that I have one more opportunity tonight to get together with you and to be able to share together in the fresh manner of the Word of God. Whatever platform you might be joining us on, I'm really thankful that you are with us. This has been an exciting series of studies that we have been on for several weeks now. We have been studying the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. The divine reality of uncommon wisdom. Glory be to God. I hope you are growing in this aspect of your life like I am. I really am growing. And I know that we still have some ways that the Lord is going to take us, at least in this season. There's so much to learn about the wisdom of God. It is impossible in any particular season to learn it all. But I'm thankful for the things that the Lord has ordained for this season and everything that He's already exposed us to. Would you bow your heads with me tonight and let's share a word of prayer together? Father, we thank you so very much for tonight. We give you glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence that is with us. Thank you, God, for everything that you are doing in all of our lives. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, every single one of them, and all their loved ones, everyone that has been with us on this journey and has continued on. Thank you for them. I pray the blessings of heaven upon their lives tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that even as we experience the freshness of your presence and your grace in this service, that our lives will never be the same again. That, Lord, you would deem it fit and appropriate to visit with us again tonight like you always do. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We yield to you. We're so thankful that you are here with us. So have your way in our midst. Teach us, great teacher of God. Do that which is amazing in our midst. And you alone, be thou lifted up and be thou glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. And thank you again. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Let's get right back into the Word of God, into our theme scriptures that we have used since we started this series of teachings on the wisdom of God. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and then you will find rest for your souls. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and then you will find rest for your souls. The people that the prophet of God, Jeremiah, was ministering to, that he was prophesying to in this scripture, unfortunately, were people who were hard-hearted and stiff-necked and who would not hearken to the instructions of the word of God. And so even as the Lord was imploring them here to seek the old paths, to find the good way, they said, no, we will not do it. We will not do it. And like I say every week here during our services, we are not like that. That's not us. Because the way of wisdom is the way of hearkening to the commandment of the Lord. When you hear an instruction from the Lord God, you lay hold upon it. You receive it. You don't walk away from it and go do your own thing. You receive it. You walk diligently in it so you can produce the fruits, the blessings of that wisdom in your life. And what is the primary fruit the Lord tells us about here? He says, then you will find rest for your souls. Oh, have we talked so much about rest? I don't have too much time tonight for a full-blown revision from the very beginning, from about 6-7 or so weeks ago. But I'm trusting God that next week we'll be able to do some revision before we wrap up this segment of it. And get into that final stretch where we can actually focus a lot more on the wisdom of God, how we get it, how we grow in it, how we increase in that spirit of wisdom, how we get baptized in it. But for tonight, it says here, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls. Like I said to you, and like I say to you almost every week during these services, the Lord said to me, as I was thinking and pondering over some of his beloved children and some ministers, some believers, and the regret and the pain and the frustrations that they had in their lives, the regret that I saw many of them at the tail end of their lives. And I remember it really bothered me a bit towards the end of last year. It was something that I was really praying about. These were people who loved the Lord. These were people who served God and people who even ministered to others about the word of God. And yet, you know, in this season of their lives, I saw so much regret and so much pain. And I know I did not see that in the word of God. I did not see that as the heritage of the righteous. That the Bible does say it gets better and better. It says the glory of the latter house will by far surpass that of the former. That is what the word of God promises us. The word of God promises us that our lives will get better. We will go from one realm and one degree of glory to another. And the further we get, the closer we get to our latter days, the closer we get to when we finish up our assignment here on this earth and actually leave, the greater the level of glory, the degree of glory that we experience, that we should experience in our lives. And I know that is the promise of the word of God. That is God's will for every one of his children. And so this thing about pain at the end and regret and just frustrations and crying and weeping is not the will of God. And I was seeking the Lord about it. And the Lord said to me, very simply, it didn't seem related to the questions that I was asking, but the Lord said to me very simply, and this is where this series of messages came from at the end of last year. The Lord said to me very, very simply, he said, son, there is your way, there is the world's way, and then there is the good way. And the good way is the way of godly wisdom. That way of godly wisdom is what will get you to everything that God has prepared for your future. So in essence, the Lord was helping me see that if as his children, we walked in the way of godly wisdom, if we didn't walk in our own ways, if we did not walk in the world's ways, but if we would do what this scripture says, this prophet said in Jeremiah, if we would stand in the ways and ask for the old paths and ask for the good way, and if we will walk in that good way, because it's not enough to find the good way, to know the good way, to preach about the good way. You know, even the preacher of wisdom, the greatest king who ever left and whoever lived, we've talked about him in these services a few weeks now. He knew so much about wisdom, and he wrote so much about wisdom. He was a preacher of wisdom. But unfortunately, he also deviated from the way of wisdom in his latter days. And so he also, in spite of all the wisdom that he knew, he had an end filled with regret and pain. Because wisdom is not just knowing what the way is. It's not just knowing what the precepts are. Wisdom is actually doing it. We have already learned wisdom is hearkening to the commandments of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have rest for my soul. Somebody say, I have the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom dwells upon my life, and I have the rest of God in Jesus' mighty name. We have also seen from our other scripture that we've read just about every week in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. That is Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. That means God is interested in your stability. God is interested, is invested in the stability of your life, in the stability of your times. God does not want you living a haphazard life, a life that is full of emergencies, a life that is full of turbulence. No, God wants you to have a stable life, a life of rest, a life that was designed by the Good Shepherd, like David told us about in Psalm 23, a life that was designed by the Good Shepherd, where he leads his sheep. He leads them and helps them lie down in green pastures, and where he leads them beside the still waters, the peaceful waters, where they have rest, where they live in the blessing covenant. God doesn't want us living in these highs and lows and highs and lows and highs and lows, this wearying kind of life, this tortuous kind of life, where there is no security, where there is no assurance. In fact, in one of those scriptures in the Old Testament, where a minor prophet, Zechariah, was prophesying, he actually talked about God bringing his people back to a place of security, releasing them from prisons and captivity, and restoring them to a place of security, the stronghold of prosperity and security. So God is invested in your security, in your stability. You see that in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 11. I'm going to read that quickly from the Amplified version. It says, as for you also, because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which was sealed with sprinkled covenant blood, he said, I have released and I have sent forth your imprisoned people out of the waterless pit. Verse 12 says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity. return to the stronghold of security and prosperity. You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity unto you. Wow, that is such a good word. What's such a good place to start our service tonight, to receive that covenant prophetic release from the Lord. He says he will restore us. He will restore us to our stronghold of security and prosperity, and restore double our former prosperity to us. So you see, God is invested in the stability of our times. Amen. God wants us to live and dwell in the blessing covenant. All of that is only possible through the wisdom of God. All of that is only possible as we stay baptized and we allow the Spirit of God's wisdom and knowledge to rest upon our lives, to steer us, to guide us, to lead us. Then that stability that God promised, that stability that God assures us of, will become a manifested reality in our lives. You know, the covenant that the Lord made with Noah, how he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, all of this will not cease. Will not see that stability. You know when the rain is coming. You know when the summer is coming. You can plan. You know when to expect times of spring, of leaves and vegetation. You know when fall is coming and the leaves are going to start falling, and we get ready for the season. There's stability. And he says, and wisdom in Isaiah 33 verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. Hallelujah. He said, the strength of your salvation and the fear of the Lord is his treasure, the strength of your salvation. So wisdom and knowledge will be responsible for bringing into your life and into my life the promises and the blessings of our salvation in Christ Jesus. The promises of this, the promises of our salvation, they are there. The promises of life, the promises, the graces of life, they are there. However, it is walking in wisdom and knowledge that guarantees that those promises are actually a full manifestation, a fully expressed reality in our lives. That's why we are studying this series of teachings, the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. The divine reality of uncommon wisdom. Somebody take this confession of faith with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom dwells upon my life. Therefore, I walk in the full expression of every part of the covenant that God has made for me. Amen. You know, walking in the wisdom of God affects, we have learned this already, but I'm saying it again by the Spirit of the Lord, affects every area of our lives. When the Word of God says in 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper, that comes into manifestation on account of the wisdom of God. When you are walking in the wisdom of God, and the Spirit of wisdom is resting powerfully upon your life, then you will prosper in every way. You will prosper in every area of your life. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper spiritually. You will prosper emotionally and mentally. You will prosper in your physical body. You will prosper in your material possessions. You will prosper in everything you put your hand upon to do. Your career, your vocation, your ministry, your business, your finance, every aspect, your relationships, your family. You will prosper on account of the wisdom. But we have to walk. We have to walk in that wisdom of God. The wisdom of God guarantees that we will live a consistently blessed life. A consistently blessed life. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let's move on real quickly tonight. We have so much ground to cover. Let's go back. This is where we left off last week. We were in James, the book of James and chapter 3. And we were learning the different aspects of the wisdom of God. We also saw in James chapter 3 how wisdom is not only available through our covenant relationship with God. There is wisdom that people engage out of their minds, sensual wisdom, the Bible calls it. There's wisdom from this world, wisdom people engage based on the way the world operates. And there, of course, there's devilish wisdom. We saw all of that last week. And I'm just going to read again James chapter 3. And then let's move on to something very important that we need to deal with tonight. We need to focus very strongly tonight in this area of our study. Hallelujah. So if you look there in James chapter 3, and let's start out from verse 11. It says, "Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" We studied this last week extensively, so I'm not going to spend time here at all. But I need us to start out from here tonight. It says, "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Amen. Then he said in verse 13, "Who is a wise man or woman and endued with knowledge among you?" You see again, "and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Notice, most of the times, wisdom works hand in hand with knowledge and understanding. Notice what it says, "Who is a wise man or woman endued with knowledge among you?" He says, "Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Who is a wise man? Who is a wise woman? That's what the Lord wants us to be. Not people who just visit wisdom once in a while. Not people who run into problems and then we need the wisdom of God. There's nothing wrong with that. We all will need greater measures of the wisdom of God at different points in time in our lives. There are times when we come to places where we just know we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom. But if we are already baptized in the spirit of wisdom, and if on a daily basis, we're learning that a bit more tonight, you see as we go along. If on a daily basis, we actually engage with the spirit of wisdom in our lives, then when we come to those points in our lives where we need clear instruction, direction, or even a greater measure of God's wisdom, it's easier for us to access it. It's easier for us to access it. So the Bible says, "Who is a wise man?" Somebody said, "I'm a wise man." Say, "I'm a wise woman." That is, I don't just visit wisdom once in a while, once in 6 months. No, I actually dwell with wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to see when we go back, we're going to go back at some point. I hope we can do that tonight. And we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 8, one of my all-time favorite passages of the scripture, where you see wisdom talking about how he dwelled with God. Wisdom dwelled with God. He said, "I was with him from the beginning. I dwelt. I was not just a visitor who came in once in a while and left. No, I dwelled with God. I dwelled with him." So a wise man is someone who dwells with wisdom, who dwells with the spirit of wisdom. When a wise man or a wise woman shows up, they show up with wisdom side by side them. Every time they show up, people look at this, that's a man of wisdom. That's a woman of wisdom. And they don't have to say much, but the fruits that are produced in their lives demonstrate it. The things they say demonstrate it. The ways they act demonstrate it. The fruit of wisdom is very evident and prevalent in their lives. there are men and women of wisdom. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will not just be someone who visits wisdom periodically. You will not be someone who wisdom visits once in a while. No, but that wisdom will dwell with you. You will dwell with wisdom. You will be a man of wisdom. You'll be a woman of wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, I'm not taking a lot of time here, so let's move on real quickly. He says in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. We learned that last week. If you missed that service, please go back and listen to that again. These are the other kinds of wisdom that exist. But what we are growing, what we are seeking to grow in, is godly wisdom. Divine wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. He said in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. These are the characteristics of the wisdom of God. That wisdom is the one that God has made available to us. And is the one that we are talking about. We've been talking about for several weeks now. And we will continue to talk about for a few weeks to come how we grow in that wisdom and the evidences and the manifestations of that wisdom. I know that towards the end of last week's service, I gave us one of the definitions of wisdom that I have given us since we started this series of lessons. I said, wisdom is the knowledge of God or the knowledge of God's will made available to us so that we can live the best life possible. Wisdom is the knowledge of God or the knowledge of God's will made available to us so that we can live the best life possible on the earth. The Bible says when Jesus went to the wedding in Cana in John chapter 2, when he went there and they ran out of wine, the Bible says Jesus brought the best wine. He brought the best wine. Everywhere Jesus goes, he brings the best quality of life. The wisdom of God will enable you to live the best quality of life possible on this earth. Oh, saints, hear me. Please hear me. The wisdom of God, walking in the wisdom of God, hallelujah, manifesting the glory of the spirit of wisdom in your life will enable you to enjoy the best life possible. The best life possible. You will have the best wine in your life. You will have the best wine in your destiny. You will have the best wine in your ministry. You will have the best wine in your marriage. You will have the best wine in your family. You will have the best wine in your business, in your career, in your finances. You will have the best wine in everything that you do. You will experience the highest and the best quality of life. It is the wisdom of God that sees to that. That's why the reality of this uncommon wisdom must become manifest in our lives. We can't just know about it. We can't just preach about it. We can't just talk about it. We have to manifest it. And the way we manifest it is growing in a lot of the revelation that we have been talking, we have been dealing over the last several weeks. Hallelujah. The wisdom, listen to that one more time. Wisdom is the knowledge of God or the knowledge of God's will made available to us so that we can live the best life possible on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to move on tonight. We're going to stay in the book of James. But tonight, I want us to see something that is really important regarding the wisdom of God. I have alluded to this over and over and over again over the last several weeks and several services, several lessons. But tonight, I really want us to kind of dig in further into it. Even as we saw in James chapter 3, we saw that a lot last week. We kind of alluded to that again tonight. We saw the nuts and bolts of the practical wisdom of God, the chokmah, the practical wisdom of God. And we saw how wisdom manifests. We saw how we can tell when we're walking in the wisdom of God. We saw the evidences that accompany the wisdom of God. And all of this is so beautiful. But tonight, I want us to delve a little bit strongly into this aspect of the wisdom of God. And what we're going to do, we are going to consider, I've talked about it a lot, I've just not really pinned it down into this exact descriptions, but that's what we're going to do tonight. I want us to consider the two different approaches to seeking the wisdom of God. Very important. I want us to consider, hallelujah, the two different approaches to seeking the wisdom of God. The first one is one that many of us know. As a matter of fact, majority of us operate this way. This is what we're familiar with. And there is a part of our lives that should be lived that way. The only problem is, if this is the only approach we have to seeking the wisdom of God, then we are shortchanging ourselves. That best quality of life that we talked about earlier on in this service is one that would be a fairy tale to us. Amen. Because there is that other approach to seeking the wisdom of God, which actually enables us to enjoy the fullest and the best of everything that the wisdom of God promises us. So let's talk about the first one, the first approach, the first definite approach to seeking the wisdom of God. Let's read this from James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. And let's read from verse 5. It says there in James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, I want you to look at this. Let's read this in the Amplified Version. It says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom. Notice that. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given unto him, if anyone is deficient. So, the first major approach to seeking the wisdom of God is you can seek wisdom periodically in certain situations when you think you need it. You can seek wisdom periodically in certain situations when you think you need it. Now, the Bible tells us how to receive it when we need it, when we are deficient in it, in those circumstances of life. The word of God says here in verse 6, after telling us to ask for wisdom if we need it, he says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith. So if we find ourselves deficient in wisdom, and there is a measure of wisdom that we need in our lives, and we just find that we don't have it. The Bible says we should ask, because the Father, He gives freely, without grudging, without fault finding, without scolding us. He gives us freely. So the Lord is telling us, every time we ask for wisdom, if we ask for it right, He'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. Amen. And periodically in our lives, all of us, like I've already said earlier on in this service, all of us will deal with things where we just need the wisdom of God, or we need a greater portion or a greater measure of the wisdom of God. Listen to this. It says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith. So if you are asking for the wisdom of God, make sure you ask in faith. What does that mean? Come before the Lord, believing that He'll give it to you. That wisdom that you need, He'll make it available to you. Let him ask in faith. Then he says, nothing wavering, not doubting. Not doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. The Amplified Version says, only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown here and there and tossed by the wind. He says, let not that man, that man or woman, think that he will receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man and woman is unstable in all his ways. So the Bible says there are times in our lives when we are deficient in the wisdom of God. And what should we do when we recognize that? Come and ask the Lord for it. But when we come to ask Him, that we should ask Him in faith, not doubting, not wavering, not being double-minded about it. I wonder if the Lord will give me the wisdom I need. No, ask in faith. Receive it in faith. Believe that when you ask God for wisdom, He'll give it to you. There might be someone tonight who's dealing with a situation, who's confronted by some situation where they just need the wisdom of God. They need direction. They need light. All of us from time to time are there. The Bible says whenever that is the case, we should come, ask the Lord, ask Him, but ask Him in faith, nothing wavering, not doubting, not being double-minded, and the Lord will freely give to us. Now, this is the first approach, and this is the more common approach to engaging the wisdom of God. There are, unfortunately, quite a number of believers who, like I've said periodically during these services, they go on for so long without paying attention to wisdom. They don't usually... days and weeks and months go on in their lives and they never remember the wisdom of God. And then suddenly they hit a stone wall, they hit an obstacle, and they know they will never get through that without the wisdom of God. So then they say, oh, I need the wisdom of God. And the Bible says, well, whenever we are there, we should feel free, go and ask the Lord for it. The one thing that I think can be a problem, if this is the only approach that we have to seeking wisdom in our lives, is that then we'll be deficient a lot. And many times in our lives, we don't even recognize that there are certain things we deal with that we need the wisdom of God. We just many times will do our own thing, right? You know, that like this, one of our theme scriptures, Jeremiah 6:16, where it says, does hear the Lord, stand in the way and ask and see and ask for the old paths and where is the good way. Now, a lot of times we just carry on and don't even bother because we think we're all right. And a lot of decisions we make are decisions that are really not informed by the wisdom of God. So many times then, when we hit a stone wall and we come against and come across obstacles that seek to limit us in our quest to move forward in life, there are so many decisions that may need to be undone when we find the wisdom of God. Because it's a chain of just bad decisions that may have led us to that point. And it may not even be a chain of bad decisions. It may just be decisions that were not necessarily led by the wisdom of God. And so what happens is when we come to those places where we feel now we are deficient in the wisdom of God, it really just takes so much. It takes so much of the miracle of God's wisdom to dig us out of the hole and to get us to the other side of the obstacle that we may be dealing with. Now, it would be so much better to have this other approach to seeking the wisdom of God as our regular approach to seeking wisdom. And this second approach here is this, where we can just diligently commit to walking and growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives. How about that? We just diligently commit to walking and growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives. Obstacle or no obstacle, we're committed to walking and growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives. Challenging situation or no challenging situations, we're committed to walking and growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives. That we actually don't wait until we feel deficient, like our bottle is almost empty, our vessels are almost empty of the wisdom of God. Then, we come and, Lord, we need the wisdom. And the Bible says he will give to us without fault finding. But that is not his best. That is not his best. He will give to us liberally, but that is not his best, for our vessels to constantly run out of the wisdom of God before we come asking for it. No, his best is that we diligently commit to walking and growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives, where we're just every day we dwell with wisdom. We dwell with wisdom. Wisdom is always around. Now, then, as we walk on, we may come to certain places where we just need a little bit more clarity, a bit more direction. But it's easy to find it. It's easy to top it off. You know, it's like when I don't know how you drive your car, but you can drive your car and always wait until you run out of gas and your tank is almost empty and the light is flashing. That fuel signal is flashing on your dashboard, empty. And some of the more modern cars will tell you how many miles you are away from being totally empty. And that can be a problem, because then you can be sweating. You can be sweating before you find the next gas station, right? And sometimes people, actually, you've seen them, cars park on the road. They're just there, stuck, and they have to look for someone to bring them a gallon, to kind of get them to be able to move a little bit from where they are to get to the nearest gas station. Well, that is not God's best. That is not the best way to live. I mean, you can do that if you want. You still be able to drive your car. You go from empty to empty. But the absolute best way is to just top it up regularly. Just top it up regularly. Because you just never know. And I think most of us have had experiences, depending on, you know, where you live, you know, circumstances, where you're going, travel and all of that, where you thought you had sufficient gas or sufficient fuel to get you there, and and because you omitted to top it up when you had the opportunity, you kept going, and then suddenly you find out you are in trouble. I mean, that happens to just about every driver if you let it. But that is not the best. Then you go through panic, you go through fear, anxiety. Then you have to pray really hard prayers. Oh, hallelujah. Then you have to really be in faith. You have to really, really crank up your faith engine so that your prayer can be answered, so you can get quickly. You can find a gas station before that car actually stops by the side of the road. That's not the best. The best way is to just top it up as you go. And that's the same thing for everything in life. It is greater wisdom to make up your mind, I'm never going to let my car, as long as it depends on me, I'm not going to let my fuel tank drop below half or quarter tank before I go fill it up. Right? That's wisdom. You can save yourself a lot of pain, a lot of trouble that way. As opposed to the other one where people just drive it all the way very close to empty, and sometimes they can actually really get into trouble. Hallelujah. So this way of just committing diligently to walking and growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives, it means there is no day that passes without us asking for the wisdom of God. We don't wait for problems. We don't wait to get to situations where we don't know what to do before we ask for wisdom. We don't wait until we are deficient before we ask for. No, every day. It becomes a constant part of our praying, a constant part of how we start our day. Lord, and as I go today, I ask for the wisdom of God. And it's not just a prayer. The prayer is great, but you are also fetching, you are topping up from the word of God. More and more wisdom is coming into your life on a daily basis from the word of God. Oh, saints. Oh, there's such a life. There's such a blessed life. Oh, hallelujah, that living in that glory of the spirit of wisdom can bring into your life. Oh, hallelujah. It's just, you know, wisdom just flows like a river. It just flows. You don't stumble before you try to get up. You don't know. The wisdom of God just flows like a river. You remember, let's talk about it, and I want us to read a couple of scriptures here. You remember when, I've talked about this before in some previous service, when situations will arise and people will come to the king, King Solomon, the one who the Bible calls the wisest king who ever lived, and they will come to him, and he would need the wisdom of God to solve problems, or even some of the other people. We'll read about Joseph in just a minute here before our time runs out, where situations came up, or people like Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, the situation came up, but dreams came up that needed to be interpreted. Nobody could interpret it. All the wise men of the land could not interpret it. And these covenant children of God, who had the spirit of wisdom operating in their lives, they will be told about it and they will go before the Lord. But you know, when they go before the Lord, they are coming with the advantage of already walking in the spirit of wisdom. So when they come and they said before the success, set themselves before the Lord to seek for wisdom, it is not such a drag. It is not such a struggle for them. And just like that, they access the wisdom of God. And then like I was giving the example of Solomon, when these two women came to him, I've used this analogy before, and one of them says, you know, this is my child. The one who died is the other woman's child. The other woman said exactly the same thing. And Solomon needed the wisdom of God. And right there and then, the Bible doesn't even say to us, he went to pray for a few minutes or a few days and told them, come back, I'll tell you what to do. No, right there and then, while they were talking about it, he just knew, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to kill the child. Right? The wisdom of God came into his heart. Hey, we're going to kill the child. The one whose child, that living child, was saying, no, let's not kill the child. Let's not kill the child. Let's preserve the life of the child. The one whose child, that living child was, no, said, yeah, let's kill him. Let's kill him. So that way it's all settled. It's all settled. We know the child is dead. Both children are dead. So none of us can say our child is the one that is. Let's just kill that child already. And the king said, no. Now, you are not the mother of that child. The one who wants the life of that child preserved is the mother. See, the wisdom of God just came to him. just like that. Because he did not allow himself to get deficient. He didn't get to zero. He kept topping. He had the spirit of wisdom working in his life. Oh, that is so awesome, saints. That is so awesome. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Let's read about the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 2. Before we run out of time, where are we? We're already at 50 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us in this service. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. This is living, walking every day, growing in the spirit of wisdom every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. Look at what the Bible says. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. It says, and the child, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Woo-hoo! And the grace of God was upon him. The child grew and was strong in spirit. Filled with wisdom. Filled. He didn't get deficient. Every day, he topped up the wisdom of God. He grew in spirit, he grew in wisdom. Every day. He grew in spirit, he grew in wisdom. And it was evident. This was a young child. This was a young child. And the Bible says he was filled with the wisdom of God. He actively prioritized seeking the wisdom of God as a goal of his life. He actively prioritized being filled with the wisdom of God from the Word. From the Word. He sat around lawyers and doctors, and he heard people of wisdom talking, and he would dig into the source of wisdom, the Word of God itself, and fill his tank, and fill his tank with wisdom, to the point where the Bible said the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom of God, and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, it didn't stop there. If you go all the way down to verse 52, look at it. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And Jesus, when the first time the Bible talked about it, was a little child in verse 40. Here, he's no longer a little child. He's a young man. He's a young boy, young man. He's getting to become a grown up. It's no longer a child trying to just find his feet. No, he's a grown up now, walking his way towards adulthood. And the Bible says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. See, he grew in that spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom rested upon him. And of course, that prophetic scripture we read before in Isaiah chapter 11, where it says, and then the spirit of God will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding and all of that, was really a prophetic scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the spirit of wisdom really rested upon him. Well, that is God's will for you and for me, that the spirit of wisdom will rest upon our lives. Hallelujah. That will be filled with the wisdom of God. How about Joseph? Let's read about Joseph real quickly. You remember Joseph was the young man. He was the young man who he has such a special place in his father's heart, and his father made for him a coat of many colors, right? And his brother sold him to slavery out of envy. Out of envy. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us that God filled him with wisdom. God filled him. In Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, he says, verse 9, and the patriarchs moved with envy. They sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. And God delivered him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. The wisdom of, he continued to grow. And from a little child, every day he grew. He didn't wait until he had a problem. He didn't wait until he was deficient. He just grew. He just grew in the spirit of wisdom every day of his life. You know, he changed the course of a nation, the course of an entire generation because of the spirit of wisdom that was within him. Let's read here real quickly before we close. Our time is about to run out. Let's read in Genesis chapter 41. Let's see how Joseph demonstrated the wisdom of God. Genesis chapter 41. Let's read verse 32, 33, and then go to 37 to 40, to 41. Let's read right here. Genesis chapter 41 from verse 32. And it says, for that, this is Joseph was interpreting the dream of the king, of the Pharaoh to him. He says, for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, verse 33, let the Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. You see, he interpreted the dream and then gave him direction. This is what we need to do, Pharaoh. You need to look for a man full of wisdom. Well, look at verse 37. The Bible says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Remember, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom. Can we find such a man? A man in whom the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom is. Look at it, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown you all of this, there is none so discreet and as wise as you are. You will be over my house, and according unto my word shall my people be ruled. According unto your word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain upon his neck. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God, the spirit of wisdom, brought Joseph overnight from the prison to the palace. Because he kept growing. Even in the prison, he was growing in the spirit of wisdom. In Potiphar's house, he was growing in the spirit of wisdom. Everywhere he went, he was growing every day. He didn't wait until there were issues, there were problems. He was growing every day in the spirit of wisdom. Growing. He diligently committed to walking, to growing in the spirit of wisdom. Well, when the Pharaoh, the entire nation, the entire world had a problem, they went looking for him. Somebody remember, oh, there's a man of wisdom in the prison. And when he came, he interpreted the dream and told the Pharaoh what he needed to do. The Pharaoh said, can we find such a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Not the one who, in whom the Spirit of God visits from time to time. The one where the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom is resident. Oh, I pray that you are that man. I pray that you are that woman. That you will diligently commit every day, to growing in the wisdom of God. And then the blessing of God's wisdom will be manifest upon your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for your mighty word tonight. Thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you for teaching us, precious Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Saints, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I look forward to seeing you again, same time, next week. God bless you and God bless your family. Good night.